Armed American Radio's Daily Defense from the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms microphone, the podcast version, is being brought to us by Take a Shot Firearms. Reviews you can trust, shots you don't want to miss. Visit TakeAShotFirearms.com for more information. Enjoy the show.
Defending your freedom every single day.
On the Car Arms Platinum Microphone from the GunBroker.com studios.
This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Here's your host, Mark Walters.
Welcome inside Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, GunBroker.com studios on this Car Arms EVRE20 Platinum Microphone. Great to be with you today. If you're listening on any of the dozens of stations around the country, thanks for tuning in on whatever platform, device, or radio you're listening to. And if you're watching us on television out on the West Coast, welcome inside these studios. It's an honor to spend some time with you today. We're going to jump right in today. One of my favorite people on earth, an individual who has broke bread at my home on more than one occasion and has met my parents and loves my mother, and that's about all I have to say about that. And an individual who is one of the original contributors to the original Armed American Radio Roundtable from a number of years ago, Mr. David Kodria, The War on Guns. We have a lot to talk about, David. Welcome inside the studio. We got your picture up on the wall here behind us, and I appreciate you jumping on the show with me today. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Is it the picture where I still have my glasses before I had my eyes fixed?
Yeah, you still have your glasses. Your eyes aren't fixed, but you look stately. You look awesome. In fact, it was when you were speaking as the key speaker at the Georgia Carry Convention a number of years ago. So,
okay, yeah. I remember that. Jerry Henry gave me a knife, and I couldn't figure out how to open it. And he was kind of ruthless, telling my son, look at your dad.
look at your dad. He doesn't know how to open up a knife. David, let's say to listeners that you've been around the block. You know a little bit about this war on guns. And listeners and viewers, David's website is waronguns.com. That's where you can find everything. David will link everything to there. waronguns.com. And David, I'm going to start with a story. Now, I've got the audio, and I can't play the full 10 minutes of where it starts, but I've got it queued up at a perfect place. And this is about Mike Vanderbone. Now, go back and briefly tell us. And here, well, let me set the story up this way. Out of Boston, and I'm going to read you a headline from Boston CBS Local up in New England. Patriots rookie kicker Justin Rohrwasser says he'll remove controversial tattoo. And the controversial tattoo is what is widely regarded as the three percenter tattoo. And I'm going to let you introduce to listeners what this is. And then when you're ready for me to cue up the audio, let me know. I'll turn it over to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think the audio that you have is the last interview that I had with our friend and colleague Mike Vanderbo, who is the founder of the entire three percenter concept, that being the estimated percentage of colonists who actually took to the field in the War of the Rebellion against the King. And essentially, Mike created a concept, and it has been misapplied and misused by a lot of people. And this was just weeks before Mike's ultimate demise from cancer, which he'd suffered from for a long time. But I managed to get an interview with him, and this was the segment where we were talking about what does the 3% really mean? And I think that's really all the introduction that we need.
And in fact, that is the very question that David asks him, where it's queued up. Explain to those who don't know what the 3%er movement is, keeping in mind that the Patriots' new rookie kicker, Justin Rohrwasser, says he's going to remove that controversial tattoo because apparently it's controversial. Here's Mike Vanderbo in his own words.
The 3% harks back to the revolution, to the people who were fighting in the field, who actually carried off the revolution by fighting against the king. They were the ones that, when the founders wrote the Bill of Rights, they were the ones who the founders had in mind that they would be the armed citizenry that the Second Amendment is all about. And here we have to then look at what was their moral basis. What was the basis of the revolution? And to do so, you have to go back to the not just the writings of the founders, but go back to the sermons taught by what they call the Black Regiment, you know, to discover the moral basis of the revolution. Going back, in fact, to the English, you know, Glorious Revolution of the 1700s. And once you have the whole thing, the belief in God, the belief in free men and free markets, then and only then can you begin to graph out what sort of political system that you want. And it's only by doing that, I mean, I boil it down as to, you know, number one, you can't fight the monster and become the monster. You cannot become the monster that you seek to fight. No first use of force, no toleration of what they call these days collateral damage, no innocence, okay, should be targeted at all. And it began, you know, with people who had part of it right and part of it wrong. I said, oh yeah, well this is what we believe as well as the founders, but hey, let's kill their babies too. You know, sorry, that's not a 3%er. I mean, you want to be a Nazi, you have the guts to be an honest Nazi. Mm-hmm. You know, but I've all my life, with except for a certain educational period in the early days, all my life I've fought collectivism. All my late life, the whole point of collectivism is to subsume the individual in this larger thing that they claim to have a bead on how they should work and act. And, oh, by the way, that means doing what I tell you to do. Well, no.
Now, I'm going to stop right there, David. I think that's a good place to stop there, because there's a piece out today about Nancy Pelosi, seemingly now sympathetic in collectivism, stopping with the term collectivism there, what Mike was just referring to. Seemingly sympathetic to socialism in its ultimate form, and that is paying the American people a monthly stipend to become literally dependent on government. Now, with that in mind, give us some perspective from what Mike Vanderbo was saying there about the 3%ers, which, by the way, flies pretty much in the face of those who hijacked it for their own purposes that now make it controversial. I know you understand what I'm talking about. I want you to articulate that for listeners and viewers, if you would.
Well, Mike, when he referred to an early period in his education, when he started out, Mike made no secret of the fact that he pursued and looked into communism very strongly, and through that, he discovered the lies and the genocide that go behind that philosophy of a totalitarian regime that can make people do anything they want. And this universal basic income that Pelosi's floating around, I've seen it floated around by billionaires like anti-gun Nick Hanauer, okay?
Sure.
And I think what these folks are worried about is that there's going to be another French Revolution, and they're going to be, you know, loaded under the carts and dragged up to the guillotine unless they somehow, you know, take the masses and make sure that they have enough bread and circuses for them to where they can continue ruling the planet. And so this is what Nancy Pelosi wants. She wants dependency. You know, we had a revolution with a Declaration of Independence, and instead what they've done is they've totally reversed that, and they want a Declaration of Dependence. They want everyone dependent on the government, and in order to do that, they have to change terms. They have to change the way that people look at things. And the 3% is a very powerful and a very moral concept. Okay, and that's why it had to be perverted. And I'm here to say, no, this is a concept that was developed by a very moral, one of the most moral people that I've ever known in my life. a colleague, a close friend. Without him, we would have never known about the government's criminal activities in Operation Fast and Furious with the gun walking and all the attendant deaths that resulted from that operation. And do we still have time in this segment? I want to just read you something really briefly from Wikipedia.
Okay. We've got about 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Upon his selection, Rohrwasser was scrutinized for having a tattoo of the Roman numeral 3 encircled by 13 stars, which is the logo of the Three Percenters, a far-right anti-government paramilitary group. The Three Percenters has been condemned by the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League as white supremacist hate groups. And when we come back, I want to address those damnable lies.
All right, that's perfect timing. I was off by 30 seconds. As soon as I said we had 60 seconds, that little birdie in my ear known as Shanto down at the network in Dallas said 30 seconds. So that's where we're going to pick up when we come back with the great David Kodria, because I was actually going to, this is how great minds think alike. David and I did not discuss this in advance. This is the real deal here in the GunBroker.com studios. I had no idea he was going to say that. That was a quote I was going to go to next. We'll be back right after this.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey. Who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man. The American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by 7 combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Car, the 25th anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Car Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is being sponsored by GunBroker.com, the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammo, and related accessories. That's GunBroker.com. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back indeed. Patricia Huff from GunBroker.com will be joining me on the Sunday upcoming MonsterCast in just a few days as we close out this week and move into our first weekend in our 12th year. Now, I'm talking with David Kodria, who might not know this. I don't know if, David, I'm not sure if you remember this or not. Let me go back to you quickly up here on the screen and get you back up here. I'm talking to David Kodria, waronguns.com, from the gunbroker.com studios on the Car Arms EVRE20 Platinum microphone in here today. David, but April 26th, 2009, Armed American Radio took to the airwaves as a one-hour broadcast heard inside the perimeter of the ATL only, which you see behind me if you're watching on your television screens. And April 26th, to the day, this past Sunday, marked our 11th anniversary. Next week marks the beginning of our 12th year on the airwaves on Armed American Radio, David. And you've been with us for the vast majority of that time. I thank you, my friend.
You don't want me singing happy birthday. Trust me on that.
I sang happy birthday to my sister yesterday, and she'll be singing it to me on May 5th. I have a Cinco de Mayo birthday. And, you know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do what we've always done on my birthday with my wife and my kids, and we're going to go to a Las Palmas Mexican restaurant, and we're going to sit outside. Restaurants are open, and we're going to try to get our normal lives back is what we're, as we say down south, fitting to do. David, let me read you a quote here from the same piece that you read from. It was described, Rohrwasser, we're talking about the kicker, rookie, fifth-round draft pick out of Marshall, Patriots. Here's what he had to say. Rohrwasser said when he got the tattoo 5 years ago, quote, "It was described to me as, you know, the percentage of colonists that rose up against the authoritarian government of the British. And I was like, wow, that's such a, you know, an American sentiment, patriotic sentiment. And coming from a military family, I thought that really spoke to me. I was always proud to be an American. I'm very proud." David, what's wrong with that?
Absolutely nothing's wrong with it, and what's happening now with this forced recanting and renunciation of founding principles, it almost reminds me of Galileo, you know, the Inquisition being forced to renounce and recant because the truth is too dangerous to be allowed. So instead what we have is we have the concept has been perverted and taken over, and this is what I'm here trying to do today, and what I'll do when I write this up in an article and report on what we talk about today is that this is a term that I'm not going to surrender without a fight. Because again, let me quote from Mike. He says, because he never conceived of the three percenters being anything other than a moral philosophy that we can universally share. He did not envision, and as a matter of fact, warned against groups claiming the mantle of the 3%, because then the group agenda takes over and the underlying principle gets lost. And I've seen this. I know that there are 3%er groups out there where I would guarantee you most of the members, if you said Mike Vanderbo, they would say who. They would have no clue as to what he's about. There are so-called 3%er groups that tried to hijack things and make money off of it that have a picture of Mike Vanderbo on it, and it says a good communist, meaning the only good communist is a dead communist, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is how far it's been perverted. You wonder if some of it has been due to just people trying to take over who didn't understand, or people taking over as an opportunity, or in some cases if these people are actually from the other side that are trying to steer people away and turn this into a concept that, the Southern Poverty Law Center can portray as racist. But Mike was anything but. If you just go to Sipsy Street Irregulars, blogspot.com, which was his old blog, and you type in Klan into the search engine, the very first thing you'll see is memorial to one of the Deacons for Self-Defense, which was a group of armed black men who wanted to fight against the Klan and protect themselves from being terrorized by the Klan. Mike talked in the segment that we listened about collectivism. What is racism if not ignorance and collectivism? You are judging a person based on characteristics of a collective rather than part of an individual. This is exactly antithetical to what Mike was about. And if I could, I'd like to just really briefly read from his valediction of the three percenters by Mike. He says, this is a quote, "These four principles, moral strength, physical readiness, no first use of force, and no targeting of innocence, are the hallmark of the 3% ideal. Anyone who cannot accept them as a self-imposed discipline in the fight to restore the Founders' Republic should find something else to do and cease calling themselves a 3%er. And I'm afraid there are too many people out there that are calling themselves 3%ers who have no grounding in the tremendous amount of historical work. And this is a guy whose papers were turned into Brown University as a collection there. So we're dealing with somebody who, for lack of a better term, was an authority.
You know, let me say this about Mike Vanderbilt. I had the opportunity to talk with Mike on more than one occasion. And while, you know, Mike could ruffle some feathers, he was very good at it. He was also an incredibly eloquent speaker, and he had a ton of charisma. He was somebody that when you listened to him talk, you felt like you were educating yourself. Just like I was talking about the opposite when I read a Fox News piece today about Katie Couric being upset for a combative interview with Denzel Washington in 2004. I could feel my IQ sinking as I was reading. I was just the opposite with Mike. You got smarter when you talked to him. And it was true about that other column. It made no sense why it was even on their pages. Who cares about a Denzel Washington interview? And that actually plays into part of what I'm talking about here, because we need more of that. You know, that interview, we need more of the intellectual conversations that we could have with a guy like Vanderbilt. And when we heard him talking, I want to point out that was a deathbed interview you did with him, was it not?
Yeah.
He passed away shortly after that interview.
It was a tremendously emotional time, because Mike and I had worked closely for years, and you know, and what can you do? You know, you see your friend going, and one of the things that I brought up in that interview was that, you know, he still had lucidity up until the end.
He absolutely did.
Yeah, and so he knew exactly what he was facing, and he faced it bravely. You know, I would hope that if I know my time is coming, that I just show a fraction of the morality and the courage and the and just the integrity that Mike showed.
Where I wanted to go with that was with Vanderbilt is Mike understood deeply. Because I had this conversation with him at an NRA convention years ago in an empty conference room. Well, we talked about this. Mike understood deeply the racist roots of gun control in America. He understood it at its core. And I would put up his understanding of the racist roots of gun control, as you just mentioned, up against any gun grabber on planet Earth who thinks they might be able to have gone up against him and debated that with him. Oh, they would have been absolutely pounded and buried. And we've got 15 seconds. I'm right about that, correct? If I'm not, let me know.
Absolutely. And I say every day is opposite day for progressives. So the Southern Poverty Law Center, these guys are all rich, and the Anti-Defamation League just goes out and defames.
Yeah, you better believe it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this topic on Armed American Radio. And I'll tell you that I'm saddened by his decision at the Patriots to do that. I'll tell you what I think he should have said to those individuals who are now playing the PC card on this kid. When we come back with David Kodria in the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms microphone. Don't go away.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
Car, the 25th anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Car Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convor Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
Hi, it's Mark Walters, your host of Armed American Radio. If your company sells only the highest quality products and you're looking for a way to reach these listeners, you're talking to the right guy. Armed American Radio has a package available to fit every budget, from startup to the seasoned advertiser looking for that perfect way to reach this massive audience on roughly 250 stations in the top markets in the nation. We're everywhere, and the show continues to explode across the country after 10 years. Together, we can help you reach a highly engaged and extremely knowledgeable audience. To hear your brand on this huge radio program for less than you ever thought possible, and to speak directly with me, reach out to CCW Broadcast Media LLC right away at mark@armedamericanradio.org. mark@armedamericanradio.org. And together, we'll bring your brand to Armed American Radio listeners and keep this powerful voice for gun rights on the airwaves. Again, to speak directly to me, reach out to me at mark@armedamericanradio.org. That's mark@armedamericanradio.org. Defender Coffee was created by patriots for patriots. It's coffee for Americans devoted to defending the Second Amendment. It's coffee for Americans who understand that if you don't fight for your freedom, you lose it. That's why Defender Coffee donates 100% of profits to gun rights organizations that fight to defend the Second Amendment. When you drink Defender Coffee, every single cup defends your right to keep and bear arms. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today and join the coffee club while you're there. DefenderCoffee.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Yes, you are. Welcome back inside Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, GunBroker.com studios. On this EVRE20, that's the maker and model of the microphone that you see here, the venerable EVRE20 Car Arms microphone. Going to be a great program for you coming up on Sunday. The lineup is still building. It's fluid. But I'm looking at having a name. You'll recognize the last name. But I'll be talking with her after this program airs today, Kimberly. Kimberly Coulter. Does the name Coulter ring a bell to you? It's Ann Coulter's niece. She is Ann Coulter's niece. And she is doing some amazing stuff for hours on end. We'll talk in detail about it. I won't give too much of it away right now. But suffice to say, it's about a 12-hour rolling live video, live feed, stream, live stream, with multiple people coming in discussing the Second Amendment and freedoms over a 12-hour period once a month on the 26th. I'll tell you more about it tomorrow, and I'm probably going to wait and bring her on the show on Sunday, but you're going to learn a lot from it. It's an awful lot of fun. So other than that, the lineup is fluid, but look forward to the MonsterCast coming up this weekend. It's going to be a good program. Let's go back to David Kodria. David, welcome back inside the GunBroker.com studios with me on the Car Arms mic. Let's go ahead and cap the Mike Vanderbeau segments that we just did relative to, I'll say this and then I'll let you close it out. I'm disappointed in this young man, and I would have loved to have seen him say, you know, this tattoo means to me what it meant when I got it, and I don't care what you think it means, and I don't care who's perverted it. It means to me what it meant when I got it and what it means to me today. End of discussion. Find something else to ask me about, like my kicking skills. And I bet if he would have shut up and moved on, the story would have dropped. But now that he's played into the PC police hands, they'll never, ever, ever leave him alone. And he can now be bullied on any topic they choose to bully him on. I'll let you get the last word on this and we'll move on.
Kind of makes the liberty or death tat on his forearm seem kind of meaningless, does it not?
Well, it does. But, it truly does.
Yeah, the knives are out for him, and it was very clumsy saying, well, I didn't know what it meant. I thought it meant this, and I didn't realize it was a symbol of hate. And now that I have it, it's shameful. You know what? You don't get your skin permanently marked for life if you don't know what the hell it means, unless you're an adult. And you know, I've seen people that have had like a girlfriend's name, and then they break up, and now what do they do? Okay, I'm not a good person to talk to on the ink movement because I've never had one. The closest I came, I was 18. I was on the old Long Beach Pike in California, and I was kind of feeling the effects of some beer and almost walked into a tattoo parlor, and all of a sudden I had this little vision and I could see my father looking at me, and I walked away from that, thank goodness. Okay,
well, you know, I'll tell you, I've got several tattoos. They all mean something to me. They're not off the rack. Ooh, let me get that, I don't know, cartoon character. That's ridiculous. But the tattoos I had mean something to me. I didn't get my first one until I was 45, David. 45.
Yeah, when my last job in California before I moved back to Ohio, I was selling fireworks. And the business model there is you do it through nonprofits like high school football teams, high school bands, et cetera. And one of the customers was a nonprofit group that specializes in removing gang tats from people because they get them on their face, on their neck, and now all of a sudden they get a little older. They realize they're virtually unemployable because they scare people. And so this was to raise money to take a lot of this away. But yes, you're absolutely right. However, the knives are out for him. And just case in point, and then I'll close it out. There's a headline on CBS NFL, Samson, why the Patriots shouldn't keep Justin Rohrwasser. Mm-hmm. And it starts out with the tattoo thing, and you have to get into the weeds to find out that, well, the reason for this is because the guy doesn't think that he brings enough value to the team. Okay, but with all the setup and with the headline and with the opening paragraphs, you know, the average reader sees this and then they move on. The knives are out. If he didn't recant, his life would be over, his professional life, something he's trained all of his life for. And, you know, I'm disappointed, too. You know, what are you going to do? He's in a different universe than we are with a different set of choices. And is he going to destroy it all before he even starts? And if he does, who's going to come in and help him pick up the pieces? You know, one of the things that really irritated me about Mike is that I was asking for people to make contributions, not out of charity, but out of value they've received from his work. And nobody wanted to dig in. And so, you know, if Justin did the right thing, who's going to step forward and make sure that you know, he can eat next week?
Well, you know, it is a shame, and it's easy for me to sit on this side of the microphone and tell a 20-something kid, you know, 25-year-old, 24-year-old kid, that I'm disappointed, and I am disappointed. I'm disappointed that he did that. But there's that part of me that understands exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, if it were my son, I would, you know, because the flack is not really going to come as much now, maybe from the media. If he'd have told the media to go pound salt at some point they would have moved on. There's other things to talk about. Where he had issues then were there going to be PC police on his team or on his coaching staff that were going to make his life miserable? And in today's day and age, the answer to that question is sadly yes. So, you know, he made a decision that was good for himself, and he will live with that either way. All right, now let's move on to what something that scares me a lot more than that kid's tattoo. And this is the fact that apparently now, David, in America, we've just been proved, it's just been proven to us that governments, city, state, county, federal, can now tell us what we can do, when we can open, how far apart we can stand from each other, how many people we can have in our businesses, where those people can stand, where those people can sit, what we can serve, what we can't serve, how we do business with people, whether we do business with people. They can now do that, and apparently they can arrest us if we decide we don't like their orders and their rules. Reopen North Carolina protest organizers, four of them were arrested for violating coronavirus stay-at-home orders. Here's my question. Where does this stop? Because now we know the government can and will order us to do whatever the hell it is they want if they determine it's in our best interest. And apparently we don't get a say. Was the coronavirus deal in our best interest? I could easily submit to you that there are 328 million Americans. If a million Americans died, there would still be 327 million Americans that have to go on with their lives and don't want to have to be ordered around by a government. I could easily make that argument. I also understand that the government is in a quandary and has to deal with this. I understand that. But, David, the bigger question now is, boy, this doesn't look good going forward, does it?
It looks like they can shut us down on any pretext that they want before they understand what the problem is. And you can point to other countries like Sweden, which has not done the close down.
Correct.
And they're not reporting any worse numbers. And then you have the debate over whether or not you want to get herd immunity. And I object to that. I like pack immunity better because we are supposed to be alpha predators. Thank you very much. Okay.
But, right. Much better. I didn't think about it in those terms, but that's why I love it.
And you know, I don't know if the Clorox chewables are going to work for everybody or not. You know, it's like I just don't know because I'm not a scientist and I don't have the knowledge of it. But the bottom line is you do. There's a cost-benefit trade-off analysis and everything. You know, if you really wanted to cut back on deaths, you'd I read one person said that you'd make the national speed limit 5 miles an hour. Okay, and think of all the lives you could save, but then think of all the lives that would end up being lost because just you wouldn't be able to run your country based on something like that, and it would just be not workable. I read one column in a newspaper where this guy was saying that in a time of crisis like this, life has to take precedence over liberty. And
if it saves, let me stop you. We're going to take a break. But I want to go there. If it saves just one life, how many times have we heard that argument, right? If it saves just one life, I'm going to argue against that when we come back. As you just heard David say, that life has to take precedence. If it saves just one life, it will have been worth it. Well, I can show you how to save 36 plus thousand lives a year. You tell me if it will have been worth it. We'll be back right after this.
The 25th Anniversary K9 and the Venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research. The classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR Biggest Finest Revolvers and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance. The classics. Thompson. That's right. The Tommy Gun. The incredible M1 Carbine and the one and only classic 1911. Carr Firearms. A family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convor Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 454-7012.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today. Our Second Amendment rights are under attack like never before, and we need you to take action now. The 2020 Democrat candidates have declared war on your right to keep and bear arms. Joe Biden supports gun prohibition and confiscation of your guns. Anti-gun billionaire Michael Bloomberg has vowed to spend millions to support Biden, and his number one policy issue is to take away your Second Amendment rights. It is urgent that every American show your support for our right to keep and bear arms. Please call 800-497-4775 to sign our petition in support of President Trump and your Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to defend our right to keep and bear arms, and it starts with your phone call to 800-497-4775. President Trump has protected our Second Amendment rights, and we need to show we support his presidency. 800-497-4775. Paid for by American Political Action Committee PAC, which is responsible for the content of this message.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey, who laid down their lives and their fortunes forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by seven combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back indeed. Let me give you a brief rundown on my sponsors here that make this show possible, both on all of our great radio station affiliates around the country and on the television stations up in Northern California. That's growing, by the way. We'll keep you posted on that. Lead Slinger's Whiskey, the weekend microphone, transforms to the Lead Slinger's microphone. Great Brad Primo, the CEO over there, participates with us on the show about every single week, and we're coming to you at that time from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Two of our great sponsors, been with us a long time. MyPillow.com, you guys set records over the last 2 weeks. If you can sleep, you can support the Second Amendment. I bet you didn't know that. Mike Lindell, the founder and inventor, is under tremendous pressure to not support conservative programs, especially conservative programs that talk about your right to bear arms. So how do we support Mike? He supports us. Use the promo code AAR and support MyPillow. You get a great product, and you support the Second Amendment. That's what helps keep this program on the airwaves, is great people like Mike Lindell. So please support him. Great product. Sleep comfortable and support your right to bear arms. Defender Coffee, I'm drinking it right here in this cup, DefenderCoffee.com. Every sip that you take, a percentage of the profits goes to the group you choose. I give mine to the Second Amendment Foundation. You can do the same thing at DefenderCoffee.com. Gunbroker.com, seriously? If you can't find it anywhere, Gunbroker.com has it. Over 1.5 million auctions every single day, and it's 100,000, gazillion, quadrillion, whatever, free. Gunbroker.com. Go sign up. And, of course, North American Arms. Bursa. That's my next gun when I get around to it. It's going to be the Bursa 380 Thunder. Love that thing. And, of course, Emerson Knives. Let's not forget Emerson Knives. David Coggio, welcome back inside. Let's bring you back up here on the screen so people can see who we're talking to. And let me close out that previous segment and go into the next one with this. If it saves just one life, it will have all been worth it. How many times have we heard the left say that?
Yeah, all the time. And they're now trying to posit that it'll save a lot more lives. There was a letter in the Iowa View section of the Des Moines Register, which is a USA Today Gannett newspaper. I could talk for an hour just about how much contempt I have for that entire chain.
It's a rag. Go ahead. Listeners and viewers, it's a rag.
His premise was, we must prize our right to live over our liberties for now as COVID-19 spreads. Okay,
and over our liberties.
To use it as justification, he talks about the Declaration of Independence, and it says it mentions you have a right to life before it mentions a right to liberty. And what that brought me to, Mark, was Patrick Henry when he was talking to the Second Virginia Convention, trying to get the financing for a militia. And right from here, he says, because this guy wants to bring up the founders. Okay, let's bring up the founders. Patrick Henry said, is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid exactly. It, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Give me death. The famous
and that
words.
Takes me to a quote by another radical patriot, another Vanderbilt of his time, okay, and that was Samuel Adams. And this goes to this editorial writer at the Des Moines Register. This is Sam Adams talking to you, pal. If you love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsel or your arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chain set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen.
Yeah. I mean, you know, how do you – brilliance is what comes to mind. You leave those words as they are. They say what they mean what they say, and they stand on their own, period. And that's what I'm going to do with those words. I will say this now when it comes to that phony argument of if it saves just one life, it will have been worth it. No, it won't. Not when 330 million people suffer as a result. Our liberties suffer as a result. Freedom comes at great cost. It comes with great responsibility, and it also comes with risk. Freedom is risky, and the founding fathers knew it. That's why they uttered the words you just heard David utter and quote. Freedom isn't free. Freedom comes with great responsibility, and freedom is risky. I'm not willing to give up my liberties if it means, well, just one life might be saved because someone might do something stupid. There are always stupid people out there, and you can't fix stupid. If you believe, David, that if it saves just one life, then eliminate the automobile. Let's make it everybody take some mass transportation because you'll save, what, 36,000 lives a year? I have a boat. I drive to the lake to get to my boat. The most dangerous part of going boating is my drive to the boat. But let's not forget how dangerous the boat is. I don't have to have a boat, David. People die on the lake out there every single year.
How many lives could have been saved if we'd have just, you know, said, you know what, we're not going to invade Omaha Beach on D-Day. You know, we're just going to let the chains come to us, and we'll be safe slaves. Look at the nice gilded cage we have. It reminds me of like a dog very proud of a nice new collar. Look at the wonderful new collar my master gave me, okay?
Mm-hmm. Freedom is not free. Freedom is expensive. It comes at great cost. It comes at great responsibility. And it also comes with risk. Your alternative? Take Nancy Pelosi's blood money, which comes from your brothers, your sisters, and your neighbors. I don't want to live next door to you if that's what you believe freedom is. Now, I believe if you take that money, you take blood money. That's what they're trying to do to this country, is create dependency. They want you dependent on them for everything you do. David, we're going to look back in the rearview mirror on this, and I can promise you we're going to see a lot of things that were not coincidences and a lot of things we don't like. And I'll leave that there. David, I'll let you take it from here. We've got about 2.5 minutes. Close out the hour for us. I think it's been a great hour. I've really enjoyed it. What about you?
Yeah, no, it's important that we continue to bring up fundamentals, that we remind people of what the underlying principles are, because very often we can just get lost in the weeds. It's coming at us from so many directions, Mark.
Right.
Okay? You just can't turn around and you find here's another set of infringements by the state. Here's another set of infringements being proposed by the Democrats, which make you realize, you know what? I've got a piece on Firearms News right now about this this case where the judge is saying that a semi-automatic is the same as a machine gun, and they're using the Las Vegas shootings as a result of this. And in fact, this is something that when people were putting people like me down for filing lawsuits over bump stocks, well, what do you need these stupid toys for? This isn't a hill worth dying on. And my rejoinder was, if you think this is about bump stocks, you got to be kidding yourself. You don't understand what the issue is. And Gun Owners of America was one of the forerunners out there that was warning people that if you let this stand, you're just a notch away from them saying that semi-automatics are machine guns and need to be so regulated and banned. And this, of course, is what we're just seeing right now, where they have thrown the protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act out the window, and saying that gun manufacturers are responsible for the abuse of a madman, when in fact, and we can't get into it now, but you know, we could get into a whole nother segment where we talk about, you know what, the ATF still hasn't filed a report that says that they inspected the internals on those firearms. But that's another show.
Boy, that is another show, too. And, you know, I don't think I thanked you. It's been a while, if I have, but for your efforts on bump stocks and that whole, is that a hill worth dying on? You know, I had a bump stock. I still have a bump stock. I just don't know where it is, David. I can't find it.
Maybe it fell off that
day.
Boat.
It didn't fall off the boat. I didn't throw it into the lake. But I know if I need it, I could probably get it. But I just don't remember where it is. I don't know what happened to it. I just know it's not here anymore. I woke up one day and it was gone. It was really strange how that happened. But, you know, we're at a place now in America, and, you know, of everything we talked about just in this hour, and that was a lot, the biggest concern I have is the fact that we have individuals in America getting arrested for stepping on a sidewalk because law enforcement said you're violating an order from the government. You're now going to be arrested. I'm going to detain you. I'm going to take away your freedoms. Then they're going to prosecute you under this arrest, and they're going to attempt to lock you up, fine you, take your money. Is this the America we want to live in? David Kodrya, The War on Guns. Thank you, brother. We're getting ready to end this program. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm going to see you on your television screens, and I'm going to see you on the radio. You know the routine. Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. And self-respecting caveman would never do that. Visit War on Guns, and I'll see you on the radio.